It's time for Brother Larry's Sinner's Sunday. Oh yeah. You tell him, Larry. Brother Larry coming at ya.
Thank you, Brother Dre. Thank you, Lariats, and welcome. Welcome, everyone, to Sinner's Sunday. This gathering, to the best of my knowledge, is unique in all the world. The only Sunday hang with cold beer, hot barbecue, and no dress code, no robes, no rituals, no secret handshakes, no sit-down, stand-up stuff. Just us being together and kicking around things of a primarily spiritual nature. This will be our 62nd get-together. How about that? Some say all the wisdom of the world is contained within the Bible, and that's probably true. Every situation is covered in there, in one way or another. Sex, violence, drinking, drugs, love, hate, infidelity, divorce, work, war, peace, family, life, and death. But overlaying all those aspects of life, all that drama, is a thing that makes all the difference, whether our lives play out like a boat ride on a luxury yacht or getting keel-hauled through shark-infested waters. And that hinges on the way we make decisions. We really are driving our own bus in life. Most of what happens to us doesn't happen. We create the situations and circumstances that allow things to happen, good or bad. And usually we take credit for the good and chalk up the bad to fate. Bad luck, huh? One of the greatest stories of lousy decision-making is the classic of Esau and Jacob. It's not as famous as Samson and Delilah or Cain and Abel or some of those other movie-ready Bible tales. Esau and Jacob goes way, way back, 4,000 years or more, right to the book of Genesis. And it's a great example of what the Bible can teach us about ourselves and how foolish we can be, as well as how sneaky others are. Now, Esau and Jacob were fraternal twins, the sons of Isaac and Rebekah, grandsons of Big Abraham and Sarah. So they're sort of Bible royalty. By the way, aren't those biblical names just kick-ass cool? Some chick named Rebecca just sounds a lot more interesting than one named Tiffany or Moon, doesn't she? So parents often, despite efforts to the contrary, favor one kid over the other. Of course, it should not be that way, but that's just how it is. And that's one of the beautiful things about the Bible. There are few shoulds in the Bible. It's about truth, not PC lies or revisionist history. Although there are those out there who don't like the Bible and want it outright banned or edited to their specs. But that's for another Sunday. Now, there were prophecies about these two brothers. It says that God told Rebekah that she had, quote, two nations in thy womb. Wow, big womb. No, it was a metaphor, of course. And two manners of people shall be separated from it. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. Unquote. So Esau was born first, but when he made his debut, Jacob was gripping his ankle as if trying to pull Esau back into the womb so that he could be firstborn. The name Jacob means he grasps the heel, which is a Hebrew idiom for deceptive behavior. So why the big deal? Because in that culture at that time, firstborn had its privileges, like being made head of the family and getting any inheritance. So Isaac, the father, was more fond of Esau. The old man had a taste for wild game, and Esau was a skilled hunter. He was always bringing something tasty home for Dad to baste and throw on the Weber. And it seems Esau was a big, rough, hairy dude, a man's man, but quite popular with the ladies. Old Isaac may have gotten a vicarious charge out of Esau's escapades. But Mommy Rebecca, well, she liked Jacob better. Jacob was more refined, cerebral, not impetuous. He thought things through. As time went by, and Esau's reputation was established, the family began to worry if he had the right temperament to be a leader. So one day he comes home after a long hunt and he's hungry enough to eat his sandals. And Jacob's got a cauldron full of beef stew bubbling on the stove. And Esau asks him for a bowl. And Jacob says, "Sure, for your birthright." And impulsive Esau says, "Deal." Now, of course, that deal was not binding, but it gave a hell of an insight into how much Esau valued that birthright. Who knows? This ancient story may also have been the foundation for an acronym everyone should have tattooed on their memory. HALT. Those four letters can help you avoid mistakes that can ruin your life, or at the very least, cost you money and time and heartache. In Esau's case, he violated at least three of the HALT tenets. He was definitely H for hungry, huh? Plenty of people get irritable when hungry. Plus, his younger brother trying to hold him up for a lousy bowl of stew likely pissed him off. So there he had the H and the A for angry, right, going on. Did he have the L for lonely? No. But it's a safe bet he had that T for tired. A long day hunting with a bow would certainly tucker out anybody. So although the deal with the stew wasn't binding, word got out, which further reinforced Esau's image as a loose cannon. But nothing could be official until the old man Isaac gave Esau his blessing. And that time finally came, and old Isaac had gone blind. He knew he was soon to check out of Hotel Earth, and he wanted to give his blessing to his favorite son, even though he knew it was a bad idea. But never underestimate the deceptive powers of a female, especially a female mommy. Rebecca grabbed Jacob, threw some kind of animal skin on him so he'd feel furry like his brother. She even spritzed him with some Eau de Esau, because the old man's nose still worked just fine. Then she brought Jacob to Isaac's bedside. The old man stuck out his bony hand, and it felt like Esau. He sniffed a couple times, and it smelled like Esau. There, satisfied, Isaac told him he was the heir apparent, and presto, Jacob became the new patriarch. Now, what about those nations God had told Rebecca were brewing in her capacious womb? Well, it turned out to be true. Jacob would be the de facto founder of Israel. Esau would lead a tribe called the Edomites. There are many opinions about who the Edomites became. Some say the Arabic tribes, which then became Islamic. But the real wisdom to be gleaned from the Esau and Jacob story is well before they strike out on their own. Each brother made a decision. Esau's was to not really give a crap, and Jacob's was to want the mantle of leadership so bad he'd do anything to get it. Fate and luck had zero effect on the outcome. And wow, how those guys' decisions rocked the world and continue to even now, thousands of years later. I really dig the HALT acronym, but I believe they left out a fifth and critical letter, a second H, and that H would stand for haste. Decisions made in haste almost always are bad decisions, which is why sleazy corporations and marketers are so fond of phrases like "act now, buy before midnight, sale ends Saturday, limited time offer," etc., etc. Invariably, the man or woman who wants your decision fast does not have your best interest at heart. So before any big decision, job, car, home, marriage proposal, whatever it is, slow down. Who or whatever it is will be there tomorrow, next week, and often next year. When you think of that haste word, remember its twin brother, the one hanging on to its ankle. Hustle. If they're hasty, they're hustling. You. Don't be a victim. So maybe the new acronym sounds like a lisp. HALF. Or we could front-load it and make it breathy like HALT. Now there's some Bible wisdom for you, everyone. It really is a terrific book. Hey, thanks for hanging with me once again. If you've gotten more out of this than that crappy Netflix movie you watched last night, why not help us keep Sinner Sunday going? Skip over to patreon.com/thatlarryshow and become a subscriber. Come back, hang with us this Tuesday or thereabouts for the regular show at thatlarryshow.com. And until that time, God bless.